Today our scripture, our holy scripture, will come from 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to start at verse 16 and then drop down to verses 19 through 21. Every once in a while, I definitely need reading glasses. This is one of those times I wish I had it. We'll see how it goes. Oh, that's verse 15. All right. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. So he, that is Elijah, departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them, and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. Brothers and sisters, these are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. I had an experience quite a few years ago, back when I was in college. I was doing my student teaching, and I would have a job after my student teaching. I would do some student teaching during the day at the high school, and about a block away was an elementary school. And so I helped out at an after-school program for that elementary school. And there was one day where I had about 35 kids running around. The person that was supposed to help me out did not come, called in sick. Found out later they were partying instead. That never happens to you, does it, Dan? No. And so I'm there with 35 kids all myself. I take them outside and they are running around crazy. I'm trying to call them in, and they're not coming in. They're not following my direction. I go and gather a few up and say, "Hey, I want you to stand underneath this tree." And so when I have them, I go and get some others. And when I bring others, there was five there before, now there's three. I had the hardest time gathering these kids in. And it came to a point that I just put my hands in my face in my hands, and I had to just contemplate, is this really what I want to do with my life? We have all experienced that in one way or another, have we not? And for my kids who are listening, I can tell you, I've never felt that way about you guys. We often contemplate our own lives. What are we meant to do? What is God calling us to? How are we meant to live? Where are we to go? And often, at least when I talk about this with people, or people come and talk to me about this, often people don't know exactly what to do for their lives in their lives. And our Holy Scripture today gives us some guidance. And there are three things that are pointed out in our Holy Scripture that I think that I want to go through today. The first thing is the idea of a sacrament. The second thing is vocation. And our third thing is authority. And so let's talk about the sacrament for a minute. Now, we often, as modern people, get the idea of the sacrament or the spiritual life or the sacramental life wrong. And the reason for that is because we like to try to separate things. We like to say that there are individual studies and that there are individual things that we like to put in different areas in our lives. For instance, in psychology, you study emotion. In politics, you study politics. Now, in the biblical life or in the biblical mindset, often they did not separate things as we do today. They did not categorize things in different parts as we do today. They saw that the spiritual realm and the physical realm was not two different things, but one. That they were connected, that God intervened, that God was on his throne on high, and while he was on his throne on high, because God is who God is, God transcends space and time. He is also here with us. He also blesses us. He also feeds us. He gives us spiritually absolutely what we need. And the greatest gift that we always need is himself. Not other things, but himself. But in a biblical mindset or a Jewish mindset, they did not separate these things like we do today. And that is our error. Because often we will try to interpret Holy Scripture with our own mindsets rather than a biblical mindset or a Jewish mindset or a mindset of the people. Where do we get this in Holy Scripture, in our scripture of reading today? Well, do you remember what happened when Elijah went to Elisha? Now, I'm going to try to separate those two because those are two confusing prophets, Elijah and Elisha. But when Elijah was to take on Elisha as a prophet to be, he threw his cloak on him. Now, in a Jewish mindset, that was not just an action. That was not just something that Elijah did. No, there was a physical reality, which was the putting the cloak on him, but there was a spiritual reality as well. And that spiritual reality was the promise that God gave earlier that this person, Elisha, was going to be the next prophet. And so, the action that occurred was not just an action, but it was a giving of God's grace for Elisha. It was an event. It was an action that brought about a real grace. Often we don't think of things that way. We actually, just a few months ago, we had our elders and deacons come up here. And those elders and deacons, especially the ones that were just installed and ordained, there was something that I forgot to do. There is an action that we are meant to do as the church. But we are supposed to call all the previous elders and deacons to come and surround them and place our hands upon them. And often we think that we're just praying for them. But that's not what's just happening in that moment. Yes, we are praying for them. Yes, the action is laying hands on and praying over them. But the biblical idea, similar to how a priest, prophet, and king were anointed to become the next priest, prophet, or king, that the Spirit of God came upon them, that same biblical idea we have for pastors, elders, and deacons. That we are meant to pray over them, to lay hands upon them. And we understand in that moment, it's not just a time of prayer, but the Spirit of God is actually coming upon them. That is the biblical mindset. Now, we need that. We need that for life. We truly need God's guidance in all things. I don't know about you, but there are days and there are months and there are years that I think that I can't handle it on my own. I need someone to live in me and through me and bless me and anoint me and fill me. And that's what God does. Because the task that we have, the tasks and the mission and the work that God has for each of us to do, sometimes just life in general, if we're honest, it's not something we can do on our own. We need God. And I am grateful that that is the reality. That is the biblical reality that God gives Himself, that God surrounds us, that God gives us everything that we need. One of my favorite stories in the Holy Scripture has to do with Elisha. Now, Elisha has a servant at this point, and Elisha is actually being taken by his enemy into a different land. And while Elisha is being taken away and his servant is with him, his servant is freaking out. And so what does Elisha do? Elisha wants his servant's eyes to be opened just like Elisha's eyes are. And so he prays to God to open up the eyes of Elisha's servant. And when that happens, do you remember what Elisha's servant sees? All surrounding them. God's chariots and angels are surrounding them. God's Spirit, God's ways, God's empowerment. It's not distant. God's reality, God's realm is not distant. Jesus tells us that the kingdom of God is in Germany, right? Or is it the kingdom of God is near the furthest star? No. Where is the kingdom of God? It's here. It's here with us. And if we are going to receive salvation, if we are going to live this life out well, we need Him. Which leads me into my second vocation. Often, we don't know what to do with our lives. We ask, where is God calling me to? What work am I meant to do? And how am I meant to live? Those things are meant to be prayerfully considered. We should be seeking after God and asking God those questions. And God will lead the way. But sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes God, I know that God is there, that God is leading me, that God is filling me, but I don't feel it. But as long as I'm faithful in what God is calling me to, or at least trying to be faithful, because I can tell you, in all things, I can't be faithful. I try, but I fail. And I try again, and I fail. And I'm hopefully learning from those things. But it is God who leads. And in fact, you have in the story of Elisha, after he has the cloak put on him, he does three things. He destroys his plow. He then takes his oxen and he cooks them. And he says goodbye to his parents. Those three things are to represent that God has taken him for a new profession. But also, it's a celebration. Did you see that there was a feast? That the people ate with him? Wow. Whatever work we do in this life, I hope that we are able to find celebration. Times in which we can celebrate the things that God has given us, the things to celebrate, the people that we get to do life with. And then, while we're doing that, constantly run after God. Now, the actions in Scripture, again, are not just actions that are done, but that there's a spiritual reality. If you have a prophet, what spirit is upon that prophet? The spirit of God. And so Elisha doesn't just run after Elijah, he runs after God. Wherever God has you go, run after God. Read your Holy Bible. Pray. Come to worship. Receive God. Run after Him. Because there's times in my life, and I'm guessing that this happened to Elisha too, that Elijah was being led by God, and just like Elisha's servant that was freaking out and not knowing what was going to happen, when you even follow God, you don't know exactly where you're going. And we pull out our hair too, don't we? When we don't know. When we don't know what is before us. But even more than us being faithful, God is faithful. And He will lead us true. Which leads me to my third point. God's authority. Now, I'm curious. Everybody here, and this is not a rhetorical question, how many hearts do you have? All right. You have one heart. That's right. One heart. And you and I are meant to have a heart that pursues God. That the authority that we know is over our lives is God. That there is only one absolute in all of creation. And that one absolutely absolute absolute is God. And our hearts usually are split. We love this. We run after this. We go after that. We would like to go there, and even there. We'd like to head over to this place or do that. I want to attain this or attain that. Our hearts are split. And there are some things, yes, that God wants us to. It's a necessary that, yes, I'm supposed to love my kids. And I do love you. Hopefully we love the work that God has given us. Hopefully we love our family. Hopefully we love our neighbors. Hopefully we love the food that God gives us. Hopefully we love the joys that we have here in life. To be able to do some sports and entertainment, to do some of that, yes, hopefully you have a love for those things, for they are gifts of God. But even in all of this, because God is our authority in all things, we are meant to have a single-minded attentiveness, a single love. This is what's so important about marriage, and we're not supposed to cheat on each other. Marriage is meant to be this idea of union between God and ourselves. That is what the covenant of marriage is for. We are meant to be united to God. But if we're trying to unite ourselves to multiple things that are not good, not what God is calling to us, and calling us to, then what happens is, in all honesty, we're polytheists. We believe in many gods. If we love other things more than God, I love you, Lila, but I love God more. I love my wife, but I'm meant to love God more. I love my son, my dad, my mom, my brother and sister, but I love God more. If we are divided, then we're polytheists. Because if we are loving other things more than God, well, those things are our gods. And often, even for me, Michigan might be an idol. And maybe I need to give that up. But I won't. What do you need to give up? What do you need to let go? What is unhealthy for you? What pulls you away from God? From that authority. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. In the Greek, that can also be translated in another way. Blessed are the single-hearted, for they will see God. And so, God gives us everything we need. Everything. Not just some things. Not just things sprinkled around our lives. Not just glimpses of hope. He gives us everything. He feeds us. He gives us what we desire ultimately. He gives us the work that we are meant to do. Because our God reigns. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. And hopefully for you, for me, and for this church, it is no other way. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Yes. Raise your left arm and say amen. Oh, he did it! He did it! I gave Brunt here a hard time. He can't lift his left arm. Well, let's pray together, my friends. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you call us to be your own. But you not only called us, but Lord, you looked into our lives and saw exactly where we failed and fought. And even when we were your enemies, you died for us. And today, Lord, and every day of our lives, as long as we have your breath living and breathing in us, you give us a mission. I ask, O Lord, that you would bless us, that you would bless our work, and that, Lord, no matter where we go, who we are with, or what we are doing, we ask that your name would be on our lips, that we would praise you always. Amen. There was one thing I forgot in my sermon here that I am not going to let go. We talked about at the beginning of the sermon how we like to try to separate things out, and we there we go. Can you say it really loud? Because I know I'm not going to be able to say it. Compartmentalize. Did I say it right? Hopefully I did. It's recorded. We like to do that. But God is meant to be in everything. Absolutely everything. And that's one of the reasons why Satan and his minions went out in our nation, in our world, and in our lives. Because there are schools that take out the name of God, that do not allow for it. They do not want God, the name of Jesus, to be prayed for in our governmental, in our government level. And we allow for it. We need to stop. We need to stop that from happening. Bring God wherever you go. May it be so. Amen.